broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. 25 days, 1 hour until the Century Tournament of Champions. The weather today, mostly sunny, partly cloudy, windy. So sunny, depending on where you are, probably leeward side, partly cloudy, windward side, windy, just windy. Downslope, of course, in the valleys. It's supposed to be trades 15 to 30, but it's probably going to gust. I don't see gusts to 50 or 60 like we had a couple of days. Partly cloudy tonight, and you know, the same pretty much, except the winds are going to die off a little bit for tomorrow, 15 to 20 miles per hour instead of 30 miles per hour. I've got a great show lined up for you today. It's wonderful. Michael Patrick Shields is calling in. Beverly Bell and James Kaiser. Beverly Bell is an award-winning writer and author. James Kaiser, owner, Golf Education Encounters, Golf E and G, and a driving force behind Cosmic Driving Range and Smart Targets. And Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports will be with us as well. You're looking for a tee time? 56 degrees at Volcano. There's a 918. Macaulay has a 1008. The Rally Girls crew, they're all going out at Poipu. There's a 928 and a 1032 if you'd like to. Turtle Bay, 928. Rojo Hawaiian, 920. Bayview, 10 o'clock. Makaha East, between 945 and 1151. They've got some tee times for you. Wailea, 840. Emerald, 1140. And the Blue Course, 1230. So we'll be back with Mark Rolfing after this.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. Brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe cleanup, 24/7 licensed and insured. Aloha Powers Superstore, next to the Costco gas station. We got merchandise busting at the seams. Honda blowers, weed whackers, generators, steel, Maruyama. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. SIPAC Cybersecurity, Hawaii's experts in cybercrime, ransom, and security. Keep your company safe. Call SIPAC. Call SIPAC. Cross Country Mortgage. Go see the experts and get your money ready to buy the home you want. Here's Danielle Tucker.
Mark Rolfing, golf analyst and golf commentator for Golf Channel, NBC Sports, a member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, 2022 PGA Distinguished Service Award recipient with his wife Debbie, and contributor to the Dad's Advice Project. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you? Sounds like it's windy out there. I'm on the mainland, but the wind's been howling out there, huh?
Yes, they certainly have. It would have been one of those that had been, you remember the year that the wind, it was just incredible, and the wind was just, those flagsticks were just down, bending all the way to the ground, perpendicular to the, it was amazing. And then on other places on the course, it was completely still, and they're wondering why the horn's blowing.
Yeah, that was a strange year. It's interesting, you know, we have not had, at the Plantation course for Century, we haven't had a big trade wind year in a few years now. The course has been playing slow and soft. You know, when that trade wind blows, even in advance of the tournament, let's say for the month of December, it really tends to dry the course out. And it plays completely different than what we've seen the last couple of years. Last year, the wind was simply not a factor at all, and the course was really soft.
Yeah, and it's only 25 days and 1 hour away from the Century Tournament of Champions, January 4th through the 8th, of course, on the Plantation course by Bill Kaur and Ben Crenshaw. Do you think they'll be here this year again?
Oh yeah, I think Ben will for sure. I'm not sure about Bill Kaur, but I know Bill's and Ben both have their fingers crossed. They would like to see the golf course play a little more like it's been designed for, with a little more fiery, a little faster. And certainly, you know, now we have an elevated event. It's a totally different positioning for that tournament, which makes it one of the most important golf tournaments in the world. And I think everybody's kind of rooting for the course to get back to playing the way the Plantation was known to play more in the early days.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And you know, every couple of weeks I'm able to say, hey, the Plantation course is protected by the winds, but it has been very infrequently this year. Absolutely. So what is the purse now?
The purse is $15 million, if you can imagine. You know, a limited field playing for that kind of money is just amazing to me. You know, I knew that would be coming someday in our future. Someday maybe when you and I are retired and sitting on our rocking chair watching on the first tee. But, you know, the whole LIV golf scene coming on the scene really changed things. And the top players on the PGA Tour got together and said, we've got to make this so that we can be competitive and keep up with this unlimited source of Saudi money. And the first tournament really that we saw the big change in was Century Tournament of Champions. So it's a huge purse for a small field.
It is a huge purse. And the field is a little bit different now. It's not just the winners of all the events over this past year. It's also the top who haven't gotten into the field, the top 30 that made it to the FedEx Cup Championship, correct?
Yeah, it really, I think, enhances the future of this event. It's very easy to have a tremendous year on the PGA Tour and not win a tournament. We see that every year on the PGA Tour now. My big question, and maybe I'll ask you, I'll turn this around on you.
Okay.
Do you think we ought to continue to call it Tournament of Champions now that the eligibility format has changed? I'm not so sure that that's the correct name.
Oh, my goodness. You know, strictly speaking, you're absolutely right. Not everyone is a champion. By the same token, maybe not in the calendar year, but they may have been champion another year, you know, in the past. So
yep.
if you break it down, you'd have to be very careful and just, you know, what would you call it, Mark?
Oh, I don't know. You might just call it the Century Championship.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
You know, I know it'll take some thought process. All this happened pretty quickly, Danielle, the re-up by Century, which was just phenomenal, the enhancement to an elevated event. It all happened quickly, and that's why they're still fine-tuning some of the points of all these tournaments that are now elevated events. But for 2024, you know, literally the PGA Tour season is going to start in Hawaii. And, you know, that was what we had envisioned 20 years ago mm-hmm. when these tournaments were on ESPN. We're back to that point now, and I think 2024, you'll see some even bigger changes than this year. It's going to become opening day in golf. It's going to become like opening day in baseball, which I really like.
Yeah, it is. Now, I often call you a co-founder of the Century Tournament of Champions. Now, tell us how it all started on Maui.
Wow. Well, you know, when I first came to Hawaii in the 70s, I would go over and either qualify for or sometimes play in the Hawaiian Open. And it became clear to me that the most famous golf course in Hawaii, Danielle, was Wailea Country Club. And the reason it was because it was on TV every year for the Hawaiian Open. And even though it was the most famous course, tourists couldn't play it. It was a private club. And I thought, well, shoot, if we could do that for the Hawaiian Open, what about doing something on Maui and we'll put it on a course where you can play? And so we started the Kapalua Open from scratch back in 1982, believe it or not. The total purse was $110,000. First prize was $15,000. And I promised everybody that Arnold Palmer would play, and nobody believed me, and he did.
Wow.
And that's basically the way it started. And then, believe it or not, the next year, the purse went to $300,000. First prize was $100,000, which was a huge purse back then. And guess who won? Greg Norman, of all people.
Yes, but, you know, see, it's not unheard of that instead of conservative increases in a purse, which is probably the way the PGA Tour wanted to go, there can be, when forces allow it, major jumps ahead with the purses. So this isn't the first time.
No, it's not. Oh, I think Century is really going to lead the way because I've always felt, you and I've talked about this a lot over the years, I've always felt like we needed an off season in golf. And even though QBE is going on now this week, and we had Hero, and we have the match, and we have a lot of stuff going on in December, I still believe this little break that we're seeing now is going to make all the difference in the world, and people are really going to be geared up after the holidays to see all the best players in the world start out the year by all playing against each other.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, for instance, don't you guys, ladies, I grew up saying guys for men and women together, girls and boys together. So don't you guys at Golf Channel get to take like a month off when it's the off season?
Yeah, you know, we do actually. We've got Tiger's birthday that always comes at the end of the year, the last week of December. So typically they run Tiger highlights all that time. You know, there's a place for a different kind of golf at this time of year. But I'm glad that there's a little bit of a break. And these players need it. And I think the fans need it. That's one of the things that makes the NFL so popular.
Yeah, you miss it. You get to miss it. You're absolutely right. I am excited because we've got four freshmen coming in this year, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tom Kim, Sepp Straka, and Will Zalatoris are making their first start at Century Tournament of Champions, winning. They are champions. Now, let's start with Tom Kim. He is just a ball of excitement watching him play.
Listen, if I were not announcing golf, and I would be up there as a fan every day if I weren't announcing golf, the first player I would go watch is Tom Kim. The performance he put on at the President's Cup and the electricity that he brought to that arena in Charlotte was just amazing. And I think watching him play the Plantation course is going to be phenomenal. The guy that I've got my eye on, though, as a first-timer is Matt Fitzpatrick. He has totally changed his game, Danielle, and become a much, much longer hitter. He always had a great short game. He's one of the best putters in the entire world. Good chipper. But he has really worked hard on his strength conditioning and added a lot of distance. And I think that he's going to be able to come out and kind of shake off the rookie blues for Kapalua. It's always been hard for a rookie to come out there and understand the course right away, but he's going to come out a little bit early, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Matt Fitzpatrick contend.
Yeah, and an Englishman. There are so few Englishmen in golf. Didn't it start there? No, started in Scotland. Okay, makes sense. Now, how about Sepp Straka? Your thoughts?
Yep. You know, Sepp Straka is an amazing player. He's a very streaky kind of player. He can go along and miss four or five cuts in a row, and then the next week, all of a sudden, he wins the tournament. Tremendously talented player. You know, a player that has a chance now of maybe making the Ryder Cup team. You know, and I think has really kind of found himself. I always thought, watching him play, he didn't look like a very confident player to me, but once you win a tournament like he has done now, it really just does so much for a player's confidence. But again, it's hard for these first-timers. I'll tell you this, the last couple of years, with it being soft, is an advantage for the first-timers. They don't have all the wild bounces and crazy kicks.
Yes.
And don't have to play the ball on the ground as much. So I would think the first-timers are rooting for it to be a little softer.
Yes. Can't say I blame him. All right. And then Will Zalatoris. I'm a little worried about Will. I am. I got to say it from the gate. Will Zalatoris, exciting player, hurt his back, and he's back already. I think it's a little soon, but not my, you know, it's not for me. What do you think?
Well, you know, there must be a reason why he feels like it is. I would tend to be in your camp, I think. We saw it with Bryson DeChambeau. He came back way too early when he was playing and still on the PGA Tour from his hand injury. That didn't work very well. The issue is now being in the top 30 is so important. And if you don't play a couple of months at the beginning of the year, you get so far behind in this FedEx Cup that it's really hard to make up ground. So I can see why he's doing it. It's a tough walk. We know that. I think that may be as big an issue. It's got to be careful, kind of like Tiger does these days.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad Will's going to try. Mm-hmm. And he certainly has got the kind of game that would match up well with the plantation.
Awesome. When you say points, you know, the pressure to get points at the beginning, is that some of the pressure that some of our tour players that decided to go to LIV Golf, is that some of the pressure that they don't like feeling all the time?
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I also think it's for a lot of the guys that went to LIV Golf, they knew they couldn't compete. You know, they knew that, you know, who is going to beat Will Zalatoris if you're in your late 40s, early 50s, and a top 60, 70, let's say, ranked player in the world? You're not going to beat Will Zalatoris very often.
So,
you know, I understand the decision of some of these guys going to LIV. I just wish they would say really why they did it. It was about the money and nothing else.
Yeah, and it's interesting. They're fighting to have world ranking points, right? So apparently they do want the pressure of having to make points so that they can play in the majors or whatever it happens to be. It's just very interesting. Oh, one other question I had about Sepp Straka. He's from Austria. Did he go through the college system that's become so great for some of our European neighbors, et cetera, coming in and then going on to golf on the professional tours?
He did. That's almost the only way you can do it now. It's very, very difficult. It's not like the NBA where we see a player can come out of high school and just go straight on to the NBA and be successful. That can't happen really in golf anymore. So almost all of them do go to college in the U.S. Matt Fitzpatrick did, even for, I don't know, maybe a couple hours. He went to Northwestern, I guess, just last longer. But at least getting a little bit of that experience does a lot for these guys. And that was the case with Steph.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Well, I'm really looking forward to it. There's a couple of things, of course. If you're interested in volunteering, you can always do that. We're going to Century Tournament of Champions, and kids get in free. Two kids under 15 get in free with a paying adult. So if there's two of you in the family and you've got four kids, they're all free, and you just paid $25, and that's a great price for a fabulous time. So it's $25 each, of course. I don't want to mislead you. I also love the fact that you can bring in your own water containers now, and you can fill her up, because you're going to definitely need that. It does, you know, you've got to hydrate when you're on a golf course, and you'll be able to do that, fill up your own water container. You just have to make sure it's a secure one, and you know, something that you take back with you, not something that you leave on the course. Lots of great stuff happening in this game of golf. And I've got to tell you, I like the match. I like that it's no longer a celebrity deal, at least not this year. It always changes. We've got Rory McIlroy, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, and Tiger Woods playing. Is Tiger in a cart?
Yes, he is going to be in a cart. At least I believe he is. I think that they all take carts. It seems like when they have winter hours like this for the match. Now they're only playing 12 holes, so they got to keep things moving along a little bit. I'm with you, Danielle. I think this match is probably more intriguing than any I've seen in the last couple of years. I'll tell you, the only thing that I'm feeling really bad about right now is that Phil Mickelson is not involved in the match anymore. To me, that is really going to take a lot away from it. Whether he was playing or not, he wouldn't have played in this one probably. But he certainly would have been a television guy. And, you know, I think the chances of Phil being an analyst on network TV are probably finished. But I believe had he gone down that road, which I think he would have been one of the great analysts of all time.
Wow. That's a big statement from you. I mean, you know the game. That's very interesting. I've been enjoying Johnson Wagner. He's doing a really good job.
Yeah, Johnson Wagner is. And when you turn on your TV, if you don't get the Kapalua this year, folks, you're going to see a pretty new looking NBC golf team with a couple of new faces, and one of them that I want you to keep your eye on is Smiley Kaufman, who's being an on-course commentator at Kapalua and Sony Open. And I think Smiley's going to be great. I think he's going to become a star.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Now, what about the teams? They're competing at the Pelican Club under the lights in prime time. It all starts at 1 o'clock Hawaii time, 6 p.m. Eastern on TNT. That's why you've got to, you know, it's got to go. It's 6 o'clock. It's going to get dark. So the teams are Tiger and Rory, Justin and Jordan.
Yeah, it looks like a mismatch on paper to me, to be honest. It looks to me like Spieth and Thomas ought to be the favorites, heavy favorites here. I fear a little bit for Tiger. We just don't know. You know, again, it's not 18 holes. That'll help. It's only 12 holes, and it'll move fairly quickly. And he's got, you know, Rory McIlroy as his partner, so that'll help. But I would think, looking at it on paper right now, the favorites here are Thomas and Spieth. And I think Tiger and Rory are going to have to do something pretty extraordinary to beat him.
I love it. I'm also looking forward to seeing the conversation presented by Deloitte, a roundtable discussion with Woods, McIlroy, Thomas, and Spieth, hosted by Brian Anderson. All of those people are pretty open with what they're thinking about. They're not afraid to talk. And Tiger, he's changed a lot. He's not closed mouth. He doesn't keep it inside. He's in that, at that age and at that part of your game where he can. So are you going to watch that too?
Oh yeah, I absolutely am. As I watch Tiger in the second half of his career here, Danielle, I'm seeing more and more that he wants to be involved in the administrative part of the game. He wants to be part of forging the future for his game. And as a matter of fact, there's a lot of talk around the inner circles of the game right now that Tiger ought to be the commissioner someday.
Wow.
Now, whether or not he has any idea that he wants to do that, I can't imagine he would. No. Not an easy job. But he will be a big, big influence going forward. And when you have those four guys all speaking on behalf of the PGA Tour and saying this is the future of the game right here, that's a pretty strong group.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. And they've all been vocal. Well, at least Rory and Tiger. Justin as well. I haven't heard that much from Spieth, so it will be a very interesting listen that goes right on just before the match starts. What's happening now is the QBE, and that is formerly hosted by Greg Norman, but it's Hoffman and Palmer at the top of the leaderboard by two. Ahoghi and Thigala are tied for second with Homa, Kisner, Connors, Lee, and Day Horschel just shifted again. So now we've got Hoffman and Palmer up there at 17 under. It's pretty exciting, and I just needed to mention this about Nelly Korda and what's McCarthy's first name?
Denny
McCarthy. They're playing, of course, listening to the two, Homa and Kisner, talk about Korda's game. They said something to the effect of she's the Tiger Woods of the LPGA. Did you hear that?
I did hear that. Both Kisner and Homa said, how do you not win every tournament? Of course, Nelly Korda came back and said, well, Lydia Ko is pretty good, you know. I think this is a tremendous chance for the LPGA, Danielle, to really show the world how good they are. And as you well know, next year the QBE is going to be a mixed team event, with the men and the women playing together. So all the teams will have one man, one woman. We used to have that tournament on the PGA Tour, and I remember, I think the last winners of it, in fact, were Laura Davies and John Daly.
Yes.
That was tremendously exciting. So I think this is a big step forward, even though this is an unofficial event. I don't know that, Nelly and Denny are going to be able to put on a big enough charge to catch Hoffman, or who knows, Horschel and Day might get in there.
Right.
It's a tough format to to pick up a lot of ground on because the scores are always so low. But I think this is really good for golf, and I'm already looking forward to next year.
Fantastic. Always so wonderful talking with you and getting your insight. And your insight is very cool. Thank you so much for being on the show. Of course, this is Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, Golf Channel and NBC Sports, member of the Hawaii Golf Hall of Fame, and PGA Distinguished Service Award recipient with his wife, Debbie Rolfing, for all the work they do with children. Thank you so much. Oh, also contributor to the book, The Dad's Advice Project. If you've got somebody who's like about to become a dad, this might be the perfect gift for the holidays. What do you think, yeah, Mark?
I think it would be a great one. And speaking of holidays, I'll look forward to talking to you on Christmas Eve, eh?
Yes, eh? Thank you. Aloha.
All right, Daniel.
Okay. We're going to come back. I've got James Kaiser joining us, owner of Golf Education Encounters, Golf EGN, the driving force behind something you've been hearing about, Cosmic Driving Range and Smart Targets. And he's also volunteer director, Golf Heritage Society. He's introducing us to Beverly Bell, award-winning writer, author, The Murder of Marion Miley. It's a USGA Book Award finalist. And, you know, you don't think of golf and murder much in the same sentence. This is a fascinating story. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Eveleigh. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me?
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Speaking of holidays, okay, we have the coolest gift, two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay to the winner. All you have to be is the ninth caller. I mean, we don't make it difficult. You don't have to answer any great big questions. The number is 808-545-1111. Ninth caller, 808-545-1111. Call now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle. Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
James Kaiser, owner of Golf Education Encounters, Golf E and G, and of course a driving force behind Cosmic Driving Range and Smart Targets. He's introduced me to people who've been on the show to talk about Cosmic Driving Range. Volunteer director of Golf Heritage Society and president of Friends of Cherokee 1895, saving a historic 127-year-old golf course. Now, we're with also Beverly Bell, but before we bring in Beverly, I want to talk with James because he told me a little bit about the story that Beverly Bell has uncovered. and really in depth given us some insight with her book, The Murder of Marion Miley, USGA Book Award finalist. Hi, James.
Hi, Bev. How are you, Danielle?
Good. You too, I suppose. Yes, please.
Yes, doing great. Been in the garage golf studio working with some people and having fun on a simulator on a dreary winter day in Kentucky.
Okay. I never think of Kentucky and dreary for some reason. I noticed that you're a quantified level 2 golf instructor.
Yes, I have just a little side thing I do because I love working with kids and I constantly am running into people that their golf games just really are hurting. And there's some simple things you can do with Dr. Kwan that I've learned about, as well as Athletic Motion Golf and Mike Malaska, both YouTube kind of sensation instructors. But Dr. Kwan has really taken it to another level in terms of biodynamics of recentering and having your weight be able to shift properly and post up on your left leg and rotate through the shot properly. And there's some specific techniques that he teaches you how to do and understand.
Now, is this good for the, you know, body mechanics so that you aren't injury prone when you're playing?
Yes, exactly. I think golf's gotten too technical, and there's some things you can do to really, especially at my age, to save your back, be more upright. Athletic Motion Golf is really into that, as well as Mike Malaska. Golf has just gotten too complicated, and it's really, according to Malaska, just L to L, and that's it. It's very simple, actually.
It's wonderful to hear, because no one thinks of the golf swing as being simple. Especially when you're inside the body that's not doing what you think it should be doing.
Yeah, we've just made it too complicated, I think. I think people try to emulate what Rory does, who's an exceptional person, and you can't do what he does. You can't do what Dustin Johnson does with that wrist. Most people just can't do it, so why are we trying that? We should be doing things that 100% of the pros are doing and trying to get to those positions if we're trying to be position golfers anyway.
You know, someone said not too long ago, swing your own swing. I think his name was Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, he had a very unique move through the ball, and it worked really well for him. So I would agree with Arnie.
Yes, exactly. All right. So the Cosmic Driving Range, Smart Targets, Top Golf, you credit Top Golf with just revitalizing the whole industry of golf. Tell us about, you know, all of that, because a lot of people think it was the pandemic, you know, that everybody could safely go outside and play. They discovered the game that way, but you've kind of got a different spin on things.
Yeah, I think it just really created a perfect storm for what Top Golf has done. You know, I'm a golf historian, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, about the Golf Heritage Society. But I credit a lot going back really quickly to Tommy Morris Jr., old Tom Morris, and the gutta percha ball, which really forefronted golf into why we have a game today. And then the next big feeder system was the miniature golf courses and caddy programs. And that brought a whole different dynamic into the game and made it fun and enjoyable for everybody that accelerated it into the Top Golf phase, which started about in 2005 when they really started getting ramped up. And Topgolf has about 12.5 million golfers that just do Topgolf about 8 times a year. And then they have another 12.5 million that are doing golf and real golf. And then there's another 12.5 million that just do real golf. So there's actually about 38 million golfers when you combine all those golfers, and that doesn't even include miniature golf. But I think Top Golf and the interest it represented, about 70% of the people that don't play real golf that go to Top Golf are interested in real golf. And I hate to throw these numbers out so fast, but I just want everybody to know that, you know, 70% of these people, about half of those really want to play golf. So I think the pandemic just kind of created a perfect storm where it gave people time, and the only thing open was golf courses. So a lot of these Top Golf people that tried Top Golf actually had the time and actually had the access to go play real golf. And that's what accelerated. I mean, we've had all-time record highs of rounds played of all time last year. And then this year, it's only off about 1.5%. So you got to figure the number one and the number two years of rounds played of real golf have been the last 2 years. So I think Top Golf owes, you know, I think the golf industry owes a lot to Top Golf, and a lot of people are crediting COVID. No, it was the platform that Top Golf created for golf to succeed, because they've created a new feeder system that's young and exciting and vibrant.
Yes, absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. And we're looking forward to having Top Golf here in Hawaii at some point. A lot of things have to be considered before the structure can go up. So you're also an agronomist. You've been behind Cosmic Driving Range and Smart Targets. Do you see, could Cosmic Driving Range and Smart Targets come to Hawaii? Have you heard anything like that?
Well, I sure hope they get there before Top Golf, because I tell you what, they're at a tipping point where we've created about 10 different facilities. We have a new one coming online in Pin Seekers in Madison, Wisconsin. There's one that's just the flagship of what has happened in its launch pad up in Calgary, Canada. Sports Center of Connecticut has just come online this year. Dairy Creek in San Luis Obispo, California is online. They've got Bridge Street in Morristown, PA. Nicholson National up in Calgary, Canada. Another one up there in Calgary. Shooters in Wexford, PA. Southampton Driving Range in the Hamptons. Prairie Fire in Byron, Illinois. And the very first one was Spirit Hollow Resort in Davenport, Iowa. These places are doing millions of dollars a year in revenue just from their hitting bays.
Wow.
And what makes it dynamic is the draw it creates. If you go to a Top Golf, it's nice because you're hitting into giant holes, but that's about as dynamic as those targets get, watching the ball go into a giant hole. Then you look at the screen, and it shows the scoring like a bowling alley.
Right.
But when you go to one of these Cosmic Driving Ranges, you're not hitting to just regular targets. You're hitting the glow-in-the-dark targets that interact with light, sound, and even laser. And when you hit the target, something happens dynamically in the field. People love it. So imagine the next evolution of this. You hit to a target, and you're at a five-year-old birthday party, and the little girl's name is Danielle. And Danielle hits the shot and hits the target, and a giant unicorn morphs out of that target and prances his way up to Danielle's hitting bay, because we know where it's coming from, because we're using echo radar, so we know where the balls come from. And then drops his horn, and magic pixie dust flies all over the place. But that's what the future is. I mean, that's incredible.
What a wonderful... I want that to happen to old Danielle.
Yes, I do too. And that's what Rob Peterson and Gwen Peterson at Smart Targets is going to make happen for everybody. So I think they're at the tipping point. I mean, shoot, I think they should brand up and start calling them Good Good Centers and get involved with the Good Good guys on YouTube, because they're interested in doing something like that. So Good Good people, if anybody of you hear that, call Smart Targets and get something worked out. And I think that if that were to happen, oh my gosh, there would be hundreds of facilities up within a year, and it would be another great feeder system for the game of golf.
Yeah, it's kind of like, when did mini golf start? Miniature golf, when did that, was that the 50s?
No, that was earlier than that, Danielle. It got to its height in the 1930. There were 50,000 miniature golf courses.
Wow.
And there was a little place that somebody franchised it called Tom Thumb. And he basically made corn seed kind of carpeting and had a little franchise going. And there were 50,000 miniature golf courses throughout the United States in 1930. It was so big that Hollywood... stars like Mary Pickford and stuff, they actually own their own, but the stars of the day were not allowed to, under contract, to go play miniature golf because they were competing for discretionary dollars.
Oh, whoa. So, and we think our contracts are hard.
Yeah, can't even play mini golf when you're a Hollywood star.
Wow. You have to have one in your backyard that nobody can see with tall fences or walls around you. So speaking of history, you know, you just opened our eyes to a piece of history that most of us probably didn't know, that mini golf started in the 30s. And that she couldn't play mini golf because she was under contract, and that would take away money from the movies and give it to mini golf. So the Golf Historian Society, excuse me, you are the golf historian, and you are the person who is the volunteer director of the Golf Heritage Society. Tell us how that started.
Well, I have a good friend who I play a lot of hickory golf. In fact, that's all I play. In fact, I've actually won the National Hickory Championship for the Braid Division.
Wow.
And you play pre-1900 golf clubs, which are smooth face irons and long nose woods. And I play at a course that I play called Cherokee Golf Course. It's been around for 127 years. And our illustrious government here has tried to close it. So we've tried to form a group called Friends of Cherokee 1895 to fix that, and we're working towards that. We're going to host a lot of hickory events, and so I basically have kind of fell in love with the game of hickory, and I ran into a guy named Dr. Bern Bernacki, who's our president, and he's the president of the Golf Heritage Society. It's been around for about 51 years now, and they started as a group of collectors, I think, back in 1970. And it's just grown from there. So they're involved in all types of things. We have a lot of collectors. We have a lot of artists. We have a lot of people that, you know, architects. Ben Crenshaw, he's a member. Arnold Palmer used to be a member. We have a lot of really famous members. We have about 1,000 people in the organization. We put out a magazine 4 times a year called The Golf. It's a full-color collectible type of magazine, and that's kind of how I ran into Beverly. But I've got the privilege of interviewing people on our Zoom calls that we do all the time. So we've had Kevin Proctor, who did Monarch of the Green.
That is,
Tommy,
yes.
Morris Jr. book. We've done Kevin Cook, who did Tommy's Honor, and they did a movie after that. I got to interview them. I got to interview Beverly Bell about Mary and Miley. And so we're all about protecting the history of the game. We're all about all the stuff I'm talking about, if that's of interest to you. We're all about everything from Tommy Morris Jr. to Top Golf and to Cosmic Driving Range. And, you know, we love people that do, you know, promote the game, that grow the game, like Good. I think they're doing a great job. Like Mike Malaska, like Athletic Motion Golf, like Dr. Kwan, like Danielle Tucker, who's the queen of growing the game of golf. And I love to hang around people like that. I like to talk to people about stuff like that. And I like to help do what I can to help grow the game and protect the game and its history. And people like Bern Bernacki also have that passion. So I've kind of gotten linked into that group and became a volunteer director to share my passions with them.
Well, how do we get involved? How do we become members? How do we get the magazine?
Well, you just go to golfheritage.org and join online. It's $50 a year, and it's called. You can Google Golf Heritage Society and find that link and get online and join for $50. And we send you a magazine 4 times a year, and you can plug in to our society, and you can write articles for our publication we put out in spring, summer, fall, and winter. And you can start playing in hickory events. You can start doing collectings. You can start getting on Zoom calls. There's a million ways that you can plug in and participate. And I've been invited to play golf all over the world. I haven't been able to take a whole lot of these up because it costs a lot, but I can get on some courses you just can't get on when you're just a regular Joe walking around. But if you join our society, you'll meet some very interesting friends. Like, I'm sure if I came to Hawaii, you could get me on some pretty nice courses out there.
Yes, yes. Golfheritage.org is the place to go. And the magazine, by the way, is beautiful. It is a real work of art. And it would be a great gift Can you gift somebody a membership to the Golf Heritage Organization? Golf Heritage Society?
Yeah, the Golf Heritage Society. We would love for you to give a gift. I do that with several people for myself. In fact, that would be a great, great Christmas gift is a membership to the Golf Heritage Society. And I forgot to mention, Danielle's been a member for over a year now.
Yes.
So, you know, obviously it must be good or else she wouldn't have dug in her own pocket for $50 to join something that was worthless.
No, in our economy, we don't spend things on worthless stuff.
That's right.
Yeah, so Golf Heritage Society, and the website is golfheritage.org. And James Kaiser is the person I am speaking with. I want to ask you about the golf education encounters and Golf E, but I'm going to ask before we take a break and then bring in, in fact, I think we need to take a break. I'm looking at the time. And bring in Beverly Bell, the award-winning writer and author of The Murder of Marion Miley. And you'll have to come back on, James, and we'll talk about all these other things that you do. You've got your hand all over the place, fingers in all the different pots. It's wonderful. Absolutely fantastic. So you were able to interview Beverly Bell through Golf Heritage Society, and then when I was talking with James, he started to get excited and he's telling me about Beverly Bell and that I really need to talk to her. And this, and when you said the murder of Marion, murder of a golfer, a top-notch golfer, 27 years old, and it was just like that. I want to know more. So we're going to take a break, take care of our sponsors, and come back. James will be with us still. Beverly Bell will be the person you hear next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com. That's CYPA.com. MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair. Mold remediation. Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now, get MD cleaned. What do you get for the person that has everything? We're proud to announce Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show logoed merchandise store is open. Just click the green button on our RadioGolfClub.com website to find an outstanding selection of golf club logoed items. Make an impact on the golf course with our range of clothing and accessories that ensure a smile with every package. Explore all golf styles from shirts, pants to jackets, and hats in your size and color. Visit Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club merchandise store today at RadioGolfClub.com. Fun at your fingertips with style.
Congratulations, Joe. You won those two rounds of golf at Poipu Bay. Yes. Happy holidays.
Got to make this 30-foot putt. Checking the break, three fingers, quieting the mind. Where's my putter?
I'm holding it. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Yes, losing the mind, indeed. Beverly Bell, award-winning writer, author of The Murder of Marion Miley, a USGA Book Award finalist, she writes profiles, and some of the people she's written profiles about, a Pulitzer Prize winning author, an Indianapolis 500 champion, a national sports broadcaster, as well as politicians, CEOs, entrepreneurs. Welcome into the clubhouse, Beverly.
Hi, Danielle. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating story. Now, you have done so many things, a Pulitzer Prize winning author, a national sports broadcaster, politician, CEOs, you know, Indianapolis 500 champ. Of course, that's a sport in and of itself. But how did you get into finding out about Marion Miley and who she was and what happened to her?
Yeah, that's a story within itself. I had taken up the game maybe about 4 years earlier, and at the same time, I was starting to do some freelance magazine writing, basically just, you know, some local or regional magazines, and those two circumstances kind of came together when my father-in-law, who was a native of Lexington, Kentucky, and had grown up in the city, told me this story about when he was a teenager and this woman who was this national golf star in from Lexington, and how there was this horrible crime, she was murdered during this crime. And I, like probably the far majority of people who have ever heard the name Marion Miley, they all say the same thing: never heard of her. I have never heard that name. He's like, well, she existed. And he was about 16 at the time of her death. You mentioned earlier, she died a very young woman, 27 years old, and this just sort of imprinted him. She was a national star and living in his hometown, and so he was the first one. And you know, Danielle, when you're a writer, you know, you do all kinds of work. You know, you're brought in for all kinds of projects, and some are better than others. But once I learned the details of this story, I was hooked, and I knew it in my gut that this was a story that people would be interested in. So that's how it all started.
That's really something, because when you talk about her being a star, Marion Miley, six women's Kentucky amateur championships over 8 years, 1931, 32, 34, 35, 37, 38, named the United States Curtis Cup team in 36 and 38, considered among the best women golfers in the United States and the world at that time. So, you know, you think to yourself, here's someone who is so elevated in society and so known. How does she get into a situation? Now, you know, I want people to get your book, is what I wanted. And you go to BeverlyKBell.com. BeverlyKBell.com. And you can order it right there, or probably get it just about, can get it anywhere. Yes?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you have a local bookstore, I'm always in favor of trying to support those. But you can also just go online, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, you know, all the normal places, and probably have it to you within a couple of days.
Right. But Beverly K. Bell is where you can go right now. And now, do you want to talk about a little bit about what happened? I was thinking about the young man who told you about this story, that he was 16 when it happened. She was also beautiful and very smart. Tell us a little bit about Marion.
Yeah, when you talk about a winning combination, Marion would certainly qualify for that. you know, no surprise, she was a great athlete, and she was good at many things, which, you know, she was actually a native of Pennsylvania. Her father was a golf pro, and she spent a lot of years in Florida, living in Florida as he taught and worked at a couple of different clubs. But then he took the head golf pro job at the Lexington Country Club, which is in Lexington, Kentucky. And so she moved here when she was 16. So what's interesting is this terrific golfer, she was also very good with horses, which that is definitely something important in the state of Kentucky. And she was actually asked to join a polo club, but her preference in terms of when it came to horses were the harness racing. That was the thing that she actually preferred. But she was also a great gymnast. There are documents that I was able to find where you see that she was involved in some like tumbling. She went to university for a couple of years, what turned out to what we now is known as Florida State University, and she was involved, you know, with a tumbling organization. And there are some instructional paper that she like wrote. Wow. In terms of like she was teaching younger people, and I'm just, you know, every part of this journey as a writer has been discovery for me in terms of just what there's something else about this person. Her lifelong ambition was to be a doctor, and so I think she did some things that maybe other people didn't do in terms of her awareness as an athlete and what she could do to sort of strengthen her body and just to tone her body and to make it perform at a higher level.
Wow.
So this is kind of an interesting thing. And she was also, I promise you, I'm not making this up. She was a great musician. Oh. She played the piano, and she was a writer. So, you know, when you think about a bright star kind of going across the sky, she certainly was the human equivalent to that in terms of just her capability. And I think that's what strikes very much at the heart of this story when you see somebody with that kind of skill and possibility and dying so young. 27 years old. And you know, I would prefer not to give away the entire story, but it was a random crime. Mm-hmm. and it was quite brutal as well, because not only Marion died as a result of this crime, but her mother did as well. So Marion was an only child, and so her father was left with this just horrific reality in that losing his family. Marion died first, but her mother died a couple of days later. So basically in a matter of a couple of days, you know, his life was
blown
was
up
over in a sense.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was given, you mentioned some of her accomplishments as a golfer, you know, given her visibility on a national level, because she did play at that higher tier of golf. The story made headlines not only in the United States, but in Europe, where she had played, in Canada, in Mexico, as far away as Australia, as a matter of fact. So it is it was just tragic on so many levels. And you know, Danielle, you know, you talk about golf, obviously, on a regular basis, but you know, sports is an unbelievable vehicle for a lot of stories with impact. And it's not just about the victories. It is about just stories that you can't even make up. You know, I mean, who would create something like this?
Right.
So, you know, yes, she was a golfer, but you know, honestly, I think of the story as so much more than that.
Yes.
Just of love and of loss and, you know, the people who were left behind and, you know, were forced to pick up the pieces when it was probably the last thing that they wanted to do. So I just found it really intersecting with just a lot of things. You had the, she died in September of 1941, and 9 weeks after her death, exactly nine weeks, Pearl Harbor was attacked and the United States was brought into World War II. And so, you know, we think of our lives as frequently we think of them as sort of like these singular silos. You know, we're just living our life. And that is not the case. Our life is constantly crossing paths with other events, with other lives. And in Marion's case, the crime, the ensuing manhunt, the trials, as three men were arrested, all of that came right up against the United States entry into World War II. And so what happened was the whole story of Marion, of her life and death, disappeared. It just disappeared.
Wow.
And we understand why, mm-hmm. because it was World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And so goes on for 4 years. And honestly, it was as if she had never existed. It is just really sort of incredible. So that's just another kind of side to the story. It was almost as if she was killed twice, because the first time in the actual death, and then her entire legacy is just erased.
Amazing. I'm so glad. Yes. This is Beverly Bell, award-winning writer, author of The Murder of Marion Miley. It's a USJ Book Award finalist, a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. She's done profiles of an Indianapolis 500 champion, a national sports broadcaster, as well as politicians, CEOs, entrepreneurs. And because of her expertise and knowledge, and obviously she's went deep into Marion, her life and what she'd accomplished, you were the featured consultant in Kentucky Education Television's documentary, The Forgotten Fame, The Marion Miley Story. And it's almost like, did you feel like you were giving her legacy back, bringing her back to Earth, so to speak, and to us?
I definitely felt that way. The documentary that you're referring to was an incredible experience, and the director of the documentary and I had a conversation at one point, and you know, just the two of us, and we said that very thing to each other. It feels like we're bringing her back to life. It, you know, and I think we were both very proud of that. You know, these are stories that as human beings we love stories of other people, and what they've accomplished and what they've gone through. It's just part of the human experience. So for people to be interested in her, and not just her death, which obviously was very very sad and very tragic, but of that life, she was kind of on the stage for about 10 years. And just the arc of that experience, including, and we haven't even talked at the end of her life, she went to work for Standard Oil in a capacity that women just didn't get that. They didn't get that chance. They didn't get that chance to have that kind of a job. And she was so excited about it and loved it. And just loved the opportunity that, I mean, let's just be honest, at that time, very few women would have had a chance to be out in the world like that and to have that independence, both financial independence and just the independence of experience, you know, in the work world. So It is gratifying, and I hope people are as excited as I am about her and the overall story.
Well, our dreams and our aspirations, the ones that we have for ourselves, when we read about another person, it kind of gives us confidence that if someone else did it, it's not, maybe our dreams and our aspirations aren't so silly. And, you know, you can get confidence through that kind of experience. This is Beverly Bell, author, that is Beverly Bell, author of The Murder of Marion Miley and a USGA Book Award finalist. You can get it at beverlykbell.com. And it would be a great gift, you know, a great gift to someone who may have lost something and realizing that, you know, you don't give up. And she obviously never gave up until she didn't have a choice and someone took it away from her. And that's The Murder of Marion Miley. Thank you for being on the show. We could talk for hours. Beverly Bell, award-winning writer and author of The Murder of Marion Miley. It's spelled M-I-L-E-Y. James Kaiser, thank you so much for introducing us. I appreciate both of you very much.
Thank you, Danielle. I've really enjoyed our talk.
Thank you. Aloha. We're going to come back. Michael Patrick Shields, host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, travel guru extraordinaire, is with us, and we're going to Hollywood right after this.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghaus, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Eboli. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Hoipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Hoipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
K-O-R-L, Y-N-I, Honolulu.
Only three parts to the golf swing: the backswing, the impact position, and follow through. So why is my head exploding? Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Thank you very much for putting it so succinctly. Michael Patrick Shields, host Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, travel guru extraordinaire, my traveling minstrel man, Michael Patrick Shields, welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha. Wonderful to speak to you again, and happy holiday. Meli Kaliki Maka.
Very good. And Hauli Makahiki Ho. But that will
what
come
she
up.
Said.
Yes, what she said. That's Happy New Year. And
beautiful.
What Michael said is Merry Christmas. You know, I didn't know this. You know, Michael Patrick Shields, you know, if you've been listening to the show, he just travels everywhere, right? So he was telling me that, you know, I thought he was in Hollywood because and then he was going to have to go home back to Michigan, where he's always lived, in the frigid cold. And I said, does it mean this is, you know, like, oh my God, you're going to have to go back? And he's like, what? You didn't tell me you moved to Hollywood.
Yeah, I decided to stay. I mean, I've been thinking about it for a long time, so I'm having a deep dive here into Beverly Hills, and that's where I'm speaking to you from this morning, where not too far from where I sit right now will be the U.S. Open at L.A. Country Club, which is really cool because you don't usually get a peek. Very few people get a peek at the very exclusive Los Angeles Country Club. And it's right across the street from the Beverly Hilton, walking distance from where I'm sitting right now and in my apartment. And just a funny sideline is that the Playboy Mansion used to be on L.A. Country Club, Hugh Hefner's house. And they've torn it down now, but so you can't see it anymore. But that's where it was. And when I go walking, like I have a route now, okay, I've invited myself to the party, so I go walking up to the Polo Lounge or maybe over to Dantana's or what have you. But you kind of have to be dressed nice if you're even going to go for a walk in Beverly Hills. And I had a blazer on and the button was falling off. So I did a little Google search and I'm like, oh, there's a tailor a couple blocks from here. I'll go in there. I walked in the door of this tailor, Danielle, and I realized, oh, this was not a good idea. This is one of those bespoke tailoring shops where they make your clothes and they pick the fabric and everything else. And it was right off Rodeo Drive on Brighton Street, Gary Gagosian. And he just looked at me and I said, I know this is like asking Picasso to paint crown molding, but do you think you could attach my button for me? And he goes, sure. So while he's attaching my button, this man who makes beautiful suits from the ground up for the wealthy and the famous, I look over on the wall and there's a framed photo from Hugh Hefner and it says, Dear Gary, love ya, Hef. And there's Hefner with a bunch of women standing next to him. And I said to Gary, well, at least I can now say that I have Hugh Hefner's tailor. And he said, there you go. Now get out of here.
Before somebody sees what I've done.
Yeah. They don't want to see me walking in or out of that place. Especially out.
And that button is never going to come off, you know.
No, I hope not. It shouldn't.
No.
It probably cost $8,000 to attach that button.
Exactly. So living in Hollywood, I follow you on Facebook. Okay, so going through. Yes, absolutely. So Santa Monica is a little ways away from Hollywood. We'll get to some Hollywood places. Giorgio Baldi Ristorante.
Yeah.
A fave of Jeff Bezos, Rihanna, Beyonce, Jay-Z, of course, too. What?
Yeah, and if you look in the news every day, someone else is popping in there. But Bob Iger lives in that neighborhood, too. And So I wanted to try it out, and I did. I'm just back from Italy, where I went for Thanksgiving, and so I had a craving for some Italian, and so I went in there. And you know, you sort of keep your eyes open, and it's a small place, small expensive place, but you see these paparazzi pictures, and I live across the street from the Four Seasons Beverly Hills. And so I can look out the window, and if I see paparazzi gathered outside in the evening, I say, ooh, time to go to the bar and have a beer. And, you know, I just go over there, and I've come to befriend the bartenders. And so I just see what's going on. There's always something happening that's exciting, whether it's over at Giorgio Baldi or Polo Lounge, or it might be at the other Four Seasons, which is walking distance from here, which is the Beverly Wilshire, which also gets a big celebrity crowd in there too.
My goodness, you're right in the midst of it all.
It's fun. Polo Lounge too is another good spot there. David Foster hangs out in there, the great songwriter and performer. He did the Grown Up Christmas Wish song, if you remember that, and worked with Celine Dion, who we heard was sadly in the news this week.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And the Ivy Restaurant. Tell us about the Ivy.
Oh, that's the ultimate paparazzi Ivy Restaurant. It's also walking distance from here, and it's like a little French cottage. And that's probably my favorite in all of Hollywood. If you're coming out here for one, you're going to have one sort of fancy celebrity meal. It's a beautiful spot. They're known for the fried chicken. You would have seen it on the TV show Entourage.
Oh.
And lots of times when you see paparazzi and you see like a white picket fence and the Kardashians are coming in and out or whatever, that's the Ivy.
Okay. It's good to know. You know. So what's the food like?
Tell them I sent you. Lobster ravioli with the pink sauce, I highly recommend, and also the chocolate chip cookies afterwards.
Oh, chocolate chip cookies?
Yeah.
In the Ivy Restaurant. Do they make them there, or do they bring them in from Costco?
They make them there, and they will ship them to you in Hawaii if you ask them to.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Okay. Uh-huh. So there's a photo of you taking a photo of the paparazzi. Where are we? That was the Four Seasons?
Yeah, and I tried to talk to those guys because I was kind of curious. While I was in there having drinks, they stood out there in the cold for hours. And I said, these are interesting people. But they were kind of, I don't know, intimidating. And they were a rough little group, you know, and they were kind of smelly. And so they grunted at me when I tried to talk to them. So I just kept on going.
So their reputation is real. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they were rough. They weren't friendly at all.
Yeah. Okay. You know, Italy, I do want to go to Italy because the Ryder Cup is going to be played in Italy. I mean, that is so exciting. Is anybody excited there?
It's pretty nice they have golf events in fun places because then I get to go to Italy and Hollywood. And by the way, that Bel Air Club over there in Clearwater where the match is this weekend, I broadcast from there last year.
Wow.
And you'd never even know it's there. It's this tiny little spot, flat little spot in there. So I was lucky to get to see that. But Italy is fantastic, as always. And this time I took a look around Florence. And I tell you something that was kind of interesting that happened to me there is my cousin told me about a plaque. And, you know, at this time of year, I don't know about you, but I start to get nostalgic and think about the year and what's coming. And so she sent me a picture of this plaque, and I went looking for it. And it said, tutti i passi che ho fatto nella mia vita mi hanno portato qui ora. And when you find it there, and it's right next to the Hotel L'Orologio in the Piazza di Santa Maria, what it means is every step I've taken in my life has led me here. And I thought about that, and I stood by that plaque, and I looked at that beautiful Santa Maria church and the hotel next door, and I was emotional because travel has done so much for me in my life. And I encourage people, it doesn't have to be a big trip, a little trip, a day trip, a drive, something. You will learn something, you will meet people, and every step will take you somewhere next. And in Florence, it was the company called IC Bellagio that arranged for me to go to Gucci Gardens and to go and see the Hotel Brunelleschi I stayed at, too, near the Domo. And they arrange all these beautiful surprises and these beautiful things that you see along the way. A wine trip out to Chianti that includes, believe it or not, a stop at the Florence American Cemetery, where 4,000 soldiers from the United States are interred in the hillside there. And so Florence via IC Bellagio with that kind of advice is priceless for sure.
Wow. Looking at all the photos that I've seen of you in Italy, you look so relaxed and so happy. It's the best I've seen of you, of the photos.
Whoa, that's nice. It's the La Dolce Vita, the sweet life. And also, don't forget, too, not to overschedule, because there's something called far niente, which means the sweetness of doing nothing.
Yes.
And so that's why when you go, you know, you may, if you use a company like icbellagio.com, they'll make the day sweet and perfect and not exhausting, because, you know, you could go running around through the museums. You want to see the David and the Academia and all the rest. But by the time the day is done, you're fried.
Yes. The only problem is when you get back, people say, did you see this? Did you see that? Did you see this? Did you see that? And you're like, no, but I had a wonderful time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, people have expectations. But then, you know, you just have to know that you're going to go back or make that something in your life. Because we're a lot of times, you know, the Italians, the Swiss, the French, they look at the English. They look at us when we're traveling like we're on some sort of schedule, you know, and everything's on time. And it's like, God, people relax, enjoy where you are.
Well, if you went to Hawaii, right, and you were intent on going to four islands or three islands, even, it would be a heavy duty trip.
Yes,
really relax.
Yes, just, you know, seeing the Polynesian Cultural Center and everything at Pearl Harbor, and then going out whale watching, and then going over there to try to see the. Yeah, it's just, you know, after a while, you're asking yourself, man, you soak it all in. Now, I have to ask you something. I saw you on Jeopardy. You're going to be on. When are you going to be on Jeopardy? And did you really get up to, what was it, $250,000?
If you're coming over, it's amazing how easily you can get into these television tapings. I've seen the Conners a couple times, the old Roseanne show, and I've gone to Jeopardy, and I've been in the crowd with Jennifer Hudson and got to meet her again. And I ended up on Jimmy Kimmel. I ended up on the red carpet with Paula Abdul. And so these shows are available. All you have to do is sign up, and they treat you very nicely. And so I went in to see a taping of Jeopardy. Super slick over at Sony Pictures. You get to drive right through the gates and everything and get to see the studios. And one thing I learned about watching Jeopardy in person is that I could never be on the Jeopardy show. Those people are smart and fast.
Yeah.
And that show moves so fast. You got to know what you're doing, even if you're just playing in the show. So
yes,
there's a lot of coaching that goes on and a lot of
really?
Practice before you get to qualify to be on Jeopardy. But if you want to go see it, though, you'll sit through three tapings, and it's super cool. It's really fun, and none of this costs a penny. And my appearance, though, will be on the I've been doing the judge shows. Maybe you've seen like Judge Christina or Judge Karen or what have you.
Yes.
And I'm going to be a litigant on one of those shows. And you might say, MPS, are you in legal trouble again? And I don't blame you for saying that. But what I did not know about these judge shows is that those people are actors that are the litigants and the defendants.
No.
And so I hate to lift the curtain on it, but they're going to give me something to complain about or defend against, and I'll be in front of the judge as one of the defendants.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
so what about the money
that
they get awarded?
Oh, that's all nonsense. There might have been originally with Wapner. That was probably real, but the way they churn them out now is...
And Judge Judy? Judge Judy is fake?
Judy, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. She's not one of the ones that I've been doing. But it's fun to watch. And so far, I've been getting paid to sit in the gallery there. Those are also actors and actresses. And by the way, too, when you go to see, last week, the People's Choice Awards.
Yes,
here, and
you were
see all the people lining up the red carpet, yelling and screaming. And those are paid people that are there. They're not fans.
It's all a stage.
And all those New Year's Eve shows you're going to see from Disneyland and everything coming up, those have already been shot.
Oh.
They shoot them in the middle of the night, and they use paid actors and actresses to be in the crowd so that they can tell them, all right, everybody, cheer now. Stop, you know, and all that. So you can have a little, like, you can get bit parts pretty quickly out here if you don't mind starting as an extra and working your way up.
That would kind of be fun, wouldn't it?
I'm having a riot, sure.
You making any money?
Not enough to be a regular at the Polo Lounge. So, you know.
Or have a suit made. What was that place?
Oh, Gary Gagosian.
Oh, boy. I think I've heard of him. He must be really expensive. Oh, back to Italy. You were the marathon, you know, the Honolulu Marathon is on Sunday. For the first time in a couple of years. And by the way, if you live along the route, you know that, you know, you're no parking and they're going to run through. And once they pass through, they'll reopen the road. But it's going to be interesting. But I see you there in one photo on Facebook in Florence. Did you run in the or walk or just take great photos of the marathon?
That is like a good Jeopardy question right there. Do you think MPS ran, walked, or took pictures? Just ask our man Gary there what he thinks the answer is. But Rick, I mean, not Gary the tailor, but Rick the producer.
Right.
No, I took pictures and I walked down there. I happened to be lucky, and it was the same thing as Honolulu. They were happy to have it back again. The world is pleased to have these events back again.
Yes.
And, you know, in some places in the museums and also in these studios, when you go in shows, they're still having you wear masks. And some places you need to show your vax card. But so if you're traveling to Hollywood or Italy, it would be smart to pack one with you.
All right. That's very good for going to the Ryder Cup. You going to go to the Ryder Cup? Go back? Too crowded?
I'd like to, anytime I can go to Italy. That's my second time this year. And a little secret, I became a fugitive of the Italian government this summer. And then they, let's just say in Florence this year, the Italian government caught up with me for a little while. And I can't say too much about it, and I know that's rotten, but one day I'll write about it when the time is right.
Oh, yes, yes. And Michael Patrick Shields is a fantastic writer, author of
Thank
The
you.
Secrets of the of Great Golf Course Architects, Golf Short Game for Dummies, Speak Right, A Literate Guide to the Game of Golf, Invite Yourself to the Party. That's something Michael Patrick Shields knows everything about. And what is your most recent book? All of a sudden, the title of your book.
Oh, I wrote the book about President Bush and Ken Rayner and what it was like to be a friend of a president of the United States, George Herbert Walker Bush. It's called I Call Him Mr. President. And all of these adventures and travel tips are available, too, at GoWorldTravel.com, where I'm called the Travel Tattler. And so I share all this. So if you're planning to go to Hollywood or Italy or anything, you can pop in my name there, and there'll be plenty of advice. And I hope you do, because those are great places to visit, as, of course, is Hawaii.
Michael Patrick Shields, thank you so much. You can also listen to his show online, Michael Patrick Shields. It's called The Michigan's a Big Show. It's actually just Michigan's Big Show. I added the because this is the golf club, and I've got to thank our sponsors. Michael Patrick Shields, thank you for being on the show. It's so much fun.
Mahalo. You are Ohana.
Aloha. Thank you, Ohana. Thank you to our sponsors, MD Restoration. The holidays are here. Is your home ready? Do you want to get the carpets done? Call MD Carpet Restoration. Maybe somebody, you know, made one of those unexpected messes. Call 808-528-3434. It's 808-528-3434. CYPAC. You're hearing about hacks. Well, CYPAC, CYPAC for cybersecurity. Maybe you saw Attila Cerez on PBS. Maybe you need help figuring out how to protect yourself. CYPAC for cybersecurity for your company, your nonprofit, any organization, or for you. Their number is 861-9595. Online at CYPAC.com. CYPAC. Aloha Power Equipment, the Aloha Power Equipment Superstore, has the commercial landscape equipment you need. They've got everything you need in stock to take on the biggest jobs. MD Restoration is your, excuse me, what am I saying here? Aloha Power Equipment is your Honda, Steel, Maruyama, Echo, Billy Goat dealer. They've got mowers and riding mowers and push and robotic mowers and blowers and weed whackers, everything you need. Century Tournament of Champions. The Century Tournament of Champions on Maui is January 4th through the 8th. You can get your tickets, become a volunteer, become a sponsor. Go to CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. I'm Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2022.